So happy it's Thursday. ESPN 1700 AM is the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. Full studio today. With us, we have John Douglas. He is a health insurance expert. His website, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. That's the website. Healthcare Compliance Advisor. I don't know if anybody's heard out there. A little bit of changes recently with respect to healthcare. So John's going to walk us through many of those.
He's going to answer all the questions. We got questions for you today.
We're ready.
Also with him is his bodyguard, Bobby Mitchell, making sure everything is in compliance.
That's right. Bobby's in the house.
In addition, from our lender bureau over there, we have two. We have Brian Bohan with Rancho Coastal Funding. This is a second repeat offender, right?
That's
second
me. Time. That's me.
As well as his national accounts manager with United Wholesale Mortgage, Brian Miller, is going to be calling in on the second segment.
Yeah, we brought in the big guns today.
The big gun. He's freezing out there in Detroit.
yeah, what is it, 88 today? It's crazy out there right now.
We're wearing sunscreen, Brian.
If we call this winter, what the heck is summer going to be like? Brian, what are the going rates right now?
Rates are still excellent. The 30-year fixed rates are still in the threes, and we're still doing 15-year fixed rates with twos in the middle to high 2% range. So rates are great.
Yeah, rates are great right now, and we're going to talk more about this 3.5% closing cost assistance, which is available through Fannie Mae when you buy a REO property. You can actually get in the house now with 100% down. When we talk later about that.
We're going to start with health insurance and healthcare. John Douglas, one more time, his website is healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. And you've got an 8-point plan, although I'm sure we could come up with way more than eight. But today, and we probably won't have time to get through all of them, you got an 8-point plan to assist in navigating. Is it care.gov? I mean, certainly that's a part of it, right? Although I'm sure you're not the computer guy, but certainly integrating into that is part of it, as well as, of course, what an employer might need to know in terms of the change in the laws. So there's been some change in healthcare. Tell us about that.
Yes. Thank you, Ryan. Tremendous amount of change. It's unprecedented, really, in what we're going through right now. And I think the way I try to help our clients, or certainly any of your listeners, might be to try to separate them between an individual versus an employer. There are two different marketplaces, and we're primarily focused with employers and helping them and their employees get the best plans. But we can direct individuals to the proper channels. That could be the Covered California .com, or in this case, coveredca.com. That is the state-sponsored exchange. So that's appropriate for a lot of individuals, or they can go directly with a carrier. And then where we're focused with our time is working with employers and helping them set up group plans and identify the most cost-effective arrangements for them.
We're talking with John Douglas. The company is Healthcare Compliance Advisor, and the website, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. Now, was it – I mean, with the changes that came into play, I would imagine there's a increased necessity for what you do. But prior to that, were you still doing this? I mean, it sounds like there's always been a need for employers to provide healthcare and someone like yourself to help them navigate that. I would imagine that's a pretty tangled web.
More so than ever. Yes. So we've been doing this for many, many years and working with employers in that way. But I'd have to say the need for a good advisor to work with somebody to navigate the system is never been greater. There's very much confusion out there. People are fearful about rate increases. They're uncertain about what's going on. And they are looking for answers, and that's where a good advisor like myself can come in and help them.
So, John, rather than someone going just straight to the website, mm-hmm. what you offer is basically an overlay where people come up and say they've got all these questions, and you're able to say, you know, all right, here is the best program for you. Is that
the website is for the consumer directly. right?
Definitely.
You're helping the employees place health care for – the employer place health care for their employees.
Yes, we'll do that with a customized evaluation with that client directly. The website is really an initial way for people to get the big picture and a lot of the information in a very small amount of time. So that's our hope, is to be informative, be a good resource for people. But then the real creative aspect of our work is right there, eye to eye with the client and helping them understand what their options are and evaluating what their needs might be.
So what are the changes that an employer needs to do now that perhaps they didn't need to do before, or maybe they would want to do now that they didn't want to do before? What are the changes you're finding?
Well, certainly the biggest change right now that we're seeing is rate increases. I was literally 2 hours ago at a meeting where it's a 20-person firm in Poway. They were getting a 76% rate increase from Anthem Blue Cross.
76%?
Yep. And as I say, that's literally from today, and we were there to try to identify what can we do as a resource and as an insurance broker to help them identify a more viable and affordable option. And I was able to introduce some ideas that would bring it down to potentially, say, 6 to 8% above their current cost, which would be much more palatable.
6 to 8% increase.
Yes.
So I'm kind of, my head is kind of buried in real estate here, so this whole health insurance thing floats above me. Previously, that employer didn't necessarily have to provide health insurance, although they were.
Yes, there's that gets a little complicated, but I will tell you right now, nobody in 2014 as an employer is having to provide health insurance. The distinction here is the individuals are required in this individual mandate to have health insurance by March 31st. So that's the key thing for 2014.
Is the employer requirement coming down the road?
It certainly is. 2015 for companies 100 or more, and then 2016 for companies 50 to 99 in terms of employees. And that was literally changed last week.
And I would imagine there's penalties involved for not, right?
That's the idea of a mandate, yes.
Okay. So what if you're with an employer right now and you currently have insurance and you still have to sign up for the insurance?
Sure. Yes. Most people who are at companies that offer health benefits will continue to enjoy them. The hitch for most people will be that their cost participation in those plans will probably increase. And the other reality, unfortunately, is most of these people are going to have less generous benefits this year and beyond.
Well, we're certainly going to talk about that because that's clearly an important factor. But I'm going to go back real briefly. You gave me an example where this employer, 20-person, I think you said 20-person company, they were looking at a 76% rate increase, which is astronomical.
Sure.
It's the highest
I've seen in my career.
Okay, got it. I would imagine that's going to cut quite a bit into the profit margin of whatever widget they're making.
It would if it was just complacently accepted. Mm-hmm. But that's why they've got people like myself who can come in and say, wait a second, let me navigate this marketplace and we can go to a different carrier, change the plan design a bit, and knock that down significantly.
So that sounds like that's what you did in this case, by able to shop different carriers and change the way the plan is structured to bring that increase from 76% down to 6%.
Yes, 6 to 8%, depending on the option that they're going to elect. But those were the ideas that we'd recommended, yes.
Wow, I bet they like you.
I think we're on our way, yes.
And you're paid by the insurance carrier.
Yes, that is.
So
correct.
To have you out to the employer, it's free.
That's right.
Especially if there's this massive amount of savings, it's actually found money.
That's right. It's a no-cost evaluation. We work on a contingency basis. If we cannot improve their situation, then we recommend they stay with what they have and their present advisor. And if we can improve upon it, then we certainly hope to help them.
We're talking with John Douglas with Healthcare Compliance Advisor. His website is healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. That's the website, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com.
So, John, a business owner calls you and says, okay, I want to make sure that I'm in compliance, and here's my situation. And you're able to go through all the red tape, if you will, and figure out what is the best approach for them, and it's of no cost to them.
That is correct, yes. We've been doing this for a long time, and so we know the right questions to ask, and everything from how many employees do you have, what field are you in, what's your present plan, all of those important factors so we can understand what their present situation is and what they might need to do, if anything, to comply.
Okay, so backing up just a minute with this quote-unquote Obamacare, what is happening is everybody that's not employed is actually going to have insurance, but the people that are employed are having to pick up that bill.
Everybody who is employed with an employer is in a state of flux because their employer is basically having this large rate increase of some nature, and the employer is having to make a business decision. Am I going to keep my plan? Am I going to modify the plan to make it more affordable? Am I going to pass some of this cost on to my employee, or a greater cost than I already do? So that's on the employee side what people are going to be experiencing. On the individual side, now there is a mandate so that people who have been presently walking around uninsured without any type of penalty will now be subject to a penalty if they do not have health insurance by March 31st.
March 31st is the deadline.
Of this year, yes.
And what's the penalty?
It's a greater of $95 or 1% of your gross earnings. That will increase each year going forward, but that's for 2014.
It is interesting how you say that these employers are faced with, in this case, you're saying a 76% increase. And I think it's important to get down to well, your opinion as to why that is happening, because that is an enormous increase. And we want to do that. We're going to do that when we come back. So after the break, we're going to hear from the Bryans. Brian Bohan and Brian Miller are going to tell us everything we need to know about lending. And then third break, we're going to talk about why are we looking at a 76% increase? That's crazy. Ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. We just heard from John Douglas. His website, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. That's his website, healthcarecompliance.com. We're going to talk to the Bryans, Brian Bohan with Rancho Coastal Funding, as well as Brian Miller, National Accounts Manager for United Wholesale Mortgage.
Yeah, what we've got right now is Brian Bohan is on the front lines. He's dealing with the consumer. He's working with people, getting them rates, fighting for them, trying to figure out how to get these underwriting guidelines through. And in behind the scenes is Brian Miller, United Wholesale Mortgage. Brian, are you there?
I am here. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us. You know, we're on the line with United Wholesale Mortgage. You know, we really want to know, outline it for us. What is your role in the lending process?
Well, guys, basically what we do here is we're the back room when it comes to the process for brokers and correspondents like Rancho Coastal Funding. What we do is once they have their borrower and they find the best program for them, they then bring us the application where we do the underwriting and make sure that the borrower qualifies, execute all the documents. More importantly, we handle the funding, so a lot of times we'll provide the funds for closing and then also service the loans. So not only do we underwrite and close them, we retain the servicing on about 98% of the loans we do. So from that point on, we're then servicing the loan for the borrower, and they're communicating with us, but we're also maintaining that relationship, you know, for our brokers and correspondents.
So when people put together their loan package and they're signing all these documents and they see that, you know, there's a 75% chance that they're going to sell this mortgage, that's where a lot of these mortgage bankers behind the scenes, like yourself, you're selling them. Where were you selling them? Back to Wall Street?
No, we're sending them to actually, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and then we're retaining the servicing rights. So generally, our company, we're not selling. You know, we sell a very small portion. But we're just getting them insured through Freddie and Fannie, and then we're retaining the servicing because we're a very service-based company from a customer service standpoint. So we try to, you know, make sure that we're holding that paper because we understand the importance of the customer, you know, for our brokers. You know, you want to have a good process, not only on the front end when dealing with people like Brian from Rancho Coastal, but also us on the back end where you can easily communicate with us and you're happy with your experience. So we like to stay in control of that process and keep the servicing ourselves.
Okay, so you're looking at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, their underwriting guidelines. You're coming up with your loan programs. You're offering it to lenders like Brian Bohan.
Exactly.
And the difference between yourself and, say, another competitor of yours might be that you're servicing the loans more often than they are.
That is one of the differences. Just last year, we became the number one wholesale lender in the country, which is a great accomplishment for our company because, you know, I've been with us over 7 years, and when I started here, we were just a small company, but we kind of had a different attitude towards wholesale lending. And traditionally, you know, the wholesale lenders, they're not very good on service. They look for reasons not to do a loan. They don't communicate, and they just focus on individual transactions. And what our company has done, and we like to think that we're the new age of wholesale lending, is, you know, we over-communicate. Every time we underwrite a loan or review a borrower's information, we're calling out to people like Brian and letting them know exactly what's going on with the loan. So that way they can communicate it back to, you know, the realtors, the borrowers. They're always in the know. And we're also a transparent company. So Brian has the ability to call up here and ask for anyone. He can speak with myself or our president or the head of operations who, you know, oversees all of the underwriters. And traditionally, mortgage companies are not set up that way when operating in wholesale. They're very closed off. You're lucky if you have one point of contact, and generally that's just a salesperson, so it's hard to get a straight answer. So we believe in, you know, honesty and over-communicating and also looking for a way to get loans done and you know, get the borrower into the home of their dreams. You know, we have some other differences from, you know, a product standpoint. So, you know, you had mentioned holding the servicing. That's one thing. But then also products, we have some innovative products like the Flex Term where the borrower can pick any program they want, whether it be a 22-year or a 17-year. They're not, you know, fixed to doing a traditional 30- or 15-year mortgage. You know, we also let them waive escrows with only 10% down, which is a little bit unusual for the industry. Most lenders are requiring a 20% down payment to do that.
Well, Brian, you know, a lot of people are throwing out down payment this, down payment that, that sort of thing. So I appreciate you doing that. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Brian Miller from United Wholesale Mortgage, and you said a lot, right? I mean, that was a lot of things you went over. I tell you, one of the first questions that came up in my mind was that, you know, obviously there's a lot of different underwriting wholesale reps out there. They're all probably waking up with the same mantra, like, I want to be number one. How do we get to number one? How do we navigate through this Dodd-Frank stuff? And yep, maybe, just maybe, their companies were so big that they couldn't move when the market moved, and you guys were nimble enough that you grew fast enough. What would you say was the number one factor that drove you to be number one?
I would say without a doubt, it is our president and CEO, Matt Ishbia. He is a younger guy. He's in his mid-30s. He played basketball at Michigan State under Tom Izzo. They actually won the national championship when he was on the team back in 2000, but he's got an amazing work ethic, but also uses common sense. I'm lucky enough where I get to go out on the road and meet with our brokers and our competitors, and generally when you run into the president of a big company, they're very removed from the day-to-day. They don't know what's going on. They have other people making decisions. It, like you said, they're not very nimble. They have to have a board to prove everything, no matter how much sense it makes. And luckily with the company I work for, you know, Matt's a very smart guy. He's driven. He works hard. He's passionate. And if something makes sense for our brokers or the consumers, we're going to do it whether we make money from it or not. You know, we do things like provide free marketing to our brokers. You know, no other wholesaler does that. We're spending money. You know, we have a marketing team working here of, you know, 12 people that's their job is to create marketing pieces for free for our brokers to use to go out and solicit business from realtors and try to bring them into their network.
Brian, I was saying how you guys are on the cutting edge of your end of the business. They have a transparent underwriting program where the two agents, the buyer and the seller, could all get on the same page with the underwriter and everybody knows where the loan is at the moment, whether it's been approved, what conditions are left, if it's going to be funded. And I don't know of any other lenders that have a product out there like that for real estate agents and the consumer themselves.
Yep, yep. And Brian, what Brian's talking about is our UWM Track program. So what Brian can do is he can go out to his realtors and borrowers and give them their own pipeline. It's similar to if you order something off of Amazon and you can track your package, what stage it's at. Oh, you know, it just hit LAX and it's due to be delivered tomorrow. With our company, Brian's able to go out to the agents as well as the borrowers and allow them to do the same thing. They get a login, they can check the status of the loan at any time. And we found this to be a big benefit because, you know, most people, the agents, want to know what's going on with the transaction at all times, and they're not always communicated with effectively. So we thought that this would be a great idea, and it would allow everyone to know what's going on at all times, and it's been a big success.
Yeah, one of the things that's really grown out of this market are these technology platforms, wherein which people are able to communicate to each other on different levels. So what you're talking about is having a technology platform where, let's just say there's a loan condition where you want a verification of asset or you want a bank statement or something like that, that people, individuals can upload their own information and see that it's there so it's not lost?
No, it's not. You're still going to be doing that through the correspondent or broker. So in this instance, you'd still be sending that information to Brian. But it's really to hold people accountable and you know what's going on. So if you're being told that, hey, we're going to close tomorrow, you know, docs are being drawn, you can see that, hey, docs are being drawn. Or when you're, let's say the originator says, we just submitted the loan today, they're able to go in there and confirm the loan was submitted today. It was sent to the underwriter at 5 p.m. Conditions were reviewed today at noon. So it's to the minute live updating. The transporting of the document still has to be done through the originator, but they're always in the know from a realtor and borrower standpoint. They always know what's going on with the transaction, and they can track how the process is going.
Well, thanks so much, Brian. I really appreciate that. You know, I have worked with Brian Bohan for probably 15 years. We've done a lot of transactions together. And in fact, we've been through a lot of challenges together with the way the market's been going up and down and the interest rates going up and down and things like that. With all the changes that are happening, with all the appreciation that we're seeing, you know, what was the numbers? What were the numbers last year for appreciation?
Well, I understand through DataQuick from January 13 to January 14, appreciation in California has gone up, or Southern California has gone up 16%.
Yeah, I see the numbers when they're coming out, and I'm certainly, I think that when we're looking at it at a general perspective, that's a decent number to look at. It's certainly a great number when you're a homeowner, certainly a great number when you look at when you bought your home. It's a number that's not sustainable, right? If we have 16% year over year, where are we headed? We're headed to a point where people just simply cannot afford to get in if they're not already in.
Well said. I think 16% is a number that you really can't count on. But if you would have got into a house last year in January, you would have made about, if you had a $300,000 house, you would have gone up about $48,000.
That's a pretty big number.
Over that 1 year period.
That's a pretty big number.
And so it's a good time to buy. It's good to get in. I think that things are going to only get, well, I don't think they're going to get that much better, but it's a great time to buy.
Well, statistics are showing that home values are going to go up about 4 to 5% year over year, right? Which is a little bit better than the inflation. But it's more of a normal type of appreciation with real estate. So, you know, the thing that I've noticed with a lot of people that I meet is that they say, you know, I bought my house for $200,000 and we're interviewing for the job of selling it for like $900,000. And it's just it's a staggering kind of appreciation for a lot of people. And one of the things that I've noticed is that the parade, that appreciation parade, continues to go on. When that person bought that home for $200,000, it was a gigantic investment at the time. They probably lost sleep that night. And you probably look at it now, you know, you go, hey, well, that's a piece of cake. $200,000 now, that's a breeze. But back then, maybe 15, 20, 30 years ago, that wasn't a breeze. It's the same challenge. If you're looking at a house right now that's $900,000, you're thinking to yourself, I can't believe it's that much money. In 30 years, people are going to be looking back and saying, geez, if I could just buy one for $900,000, how lucky you are. It's literally a hedge against inflation.
Absolutely. And a hedge against you've got tax benefits, you've got appreciation and inflation and everything else to look at when you get your home.
Well, this may sound slightly counterproductive as a real estate agent, but I believe in the buy and hold philosophy. Buy real estate, hold on to it. Move into another property if it makes sense because of the owner occupancy tax shelter to sell it, maybe you sell it. But if you can acquire a number of pieces of real estate, there are many, many ways in which you can build wealth by acquiring real estate, even if you're in Southern California. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Brian Bohan from Rancho Coastal Funding. His direct phone number is 800-300-8839. That's the number, 800-300-8839. Give him a call. He's got access to the latest interest rates. In fact, we were just talking about some of those other programs that are going on right there. 3.5% closing cost assistance available right now. So if you get into a mortgage and you're looking to do an FHA with no money down, there are programs where you can actually get that 3.5% assisted. Like, people will actually pay you to buy the house. You'll get in without any money at all.
3.5% closing cost assistance. That's pretty amazing. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in the fourth segment when we come back. We're going to talk with John Douglas, healthcarecompliancedadvisor.com, talk about why this one company is coming up 76% in terms of their increase in rate. And fourth segment, we'll talk about how you can get around the 3.5% down payment ahead of us when we come back. We've been talking with Brian Bohan over there at Rancho Coastal Funding, the website, RanchoCoastal.com. And during the break, we were talking just a little bit about 15-year fixed loans that are in the twos. That's pretty amazing. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Before we get to that, back to John Douglas, his website, HealthcareCompliancedAdvisor.com, and also his business, Healthcare Compliance Advisor. As promised, 76% increase. Now, of course, that's not across the board. So that's one very specific case you mentioned, but an outrageous increase. To what do we attribute, or what do you attribute an astronomical increase of 76% for this one particular client?
That's a good question. It's one that everybody's asking, of course. And I'd really boil it down to three key areas. First of all, the Obamacare legislation created 4% in new taxes. So even if everything was identical, you're still going to have a 4% increase, not to mention the rising costs of delivering health care. And then there was the addition of mandated benefits so that we couldn't have a lot of people. Many firms were offering more bare bones plans to bring the cost down using health savings accounts of that nature. And now they have to be including essential health benefits that include many benefits that weren't there before. That costs money. And maybe my last answer, which is really the biggest one, and that is that the health insurance companies can't ask what the health situation is of their applicant. It's completely blind underwriting. So they've essentially had to pad their numbers to account for the unknown. So it's created an unprecedented reason for higher rates.
So with the fact that a pre-existing condition cannot be a reason to be disqualified, means that all the people that don't have a pre-existing condition essentially have to pay more because they're padding their numbers across the board to help to pay for those that do. I mean, that would make sense.
Sure. That's fair. And that's a reality. It's the law of large numbers, and we're working with averages here.
One thing you mentioned that I didn't expect you to say was the essential benefits increase, or in general, the benefits increased. I mean, one would expect to pay more for increased benefits. I mean, that does make sense. I get that.
Right. There's a little more to the story without getting too deep into it. I mean, there has been a number of aspects of the legislation that included, say, routine physicals are now free. People can continue to carry their kids on their health plan until age 26. Those are both new aspects.
What was it before?
Typically, say, age 22, and the person needed to be a full-time student.
So an extra three more years, kind of regardless of whether they're employed or not.
Yep. This is on employer-sponsored health plans that we're talking about. And so those are two big changes. And then, of course, the aspect of the now all plans are going to include maternity coverage. That wasn't always true, say, on the individual side. Whether people are going to have children or not, that's now going to be part and parcel of the plan.
So I think in general, to some degree, the healthcare is getting better. More comprehensive, I guess I should say. Better is a relative term, but more comprehensive.
It can.
It can be.
The hitch now is whether it's affordable or not.
Sure, of course. We're talking with John Douglas, his website, healthcarecompliancedadvisor.com. That's his website, healthcarecompliancedadvisor.com. So you have on here an 8-point health care insurance plan. And so negotiating the system, and I mentioned there's probably way more than eight, but we've got 8 points. We'll probably talk about four or five of them. You can go to his website to get the full thing, healthcarecompliancedadvisor.com. That's the website, healthcarecompliancedadvisor.com. We're kind of skipping around a little bit. But item number two here, you kind of meant there's a confusion about Obamacare. And frankly, we've been talking pretty much about that the whole time. Mm. But what's really going on there?
Confusion is probably the operative word. It's something that we deal with every day, and it's one that is causing great concern for people. I'd say confusion and uncertainty. People just don't know what to expect in the future. They don't. Their health plans are changing without their having any say in it, and in many cases, they're losing access to their favorite doctor, and it's pretty unsettling for a lot of people. I think one of the big things is the way in which this has been marketed. It's been very political, and that's created its own problems. Even the name itself, Affordable Care Act, is kind of a misnomer because it's not making it more affordable. It's less affordable, and that's a problem that is creating its own confusion. The notion that you can keep your same doctor, that's a problem because for many people they're finding they can't.
And why is it they're not able to keep their same doctor?
What's happened now with the advent of the exchanges is that the exchanges have created physician networks that are much more narrow as a way to deliver or try to deliver lower costs to the consumer, and not all the doctors want to participate in those. So that's created a whole new level of scrutiny and analysis for us to try to figure out if we can help people retain their same doctor.
So my favorite doctor might opt out, I think is what you're saying.
That's certainly a possibility. Yes, it is.
I see it. And as what the insurance carrier is willing to pay for a certain service goes down, more and more of the people, the doctors, jump ship.
Yes.
That certainly does make sense. Now, your company, Healthcare Compliance Advisors, give me some ideas and some strategies, a little bit of insight, you know, the secret sauce as far as what you guys can do. And you talked a little bit about the company where you brought it from 76% increase down to 6. And we understand there's going to be some increase, especially with a more comprehensive plan, as we described. Well, what are some of the other, I guess it would be solutions you might provide an employer, frankly, for free?
Right. Solutions is a great word because that's basically the business we're in. First of all, we're finding that a greater degree of customization. If we can do a little more of a survey or study with employers and find out what doctors people are looking for, we might be able to utilize those narrower doctor networks and deliver what those people's preferences are, but for less money. Than they might have ordinarily. I think so. That's a big one. I think the other one is a lot of times people are finding that they're kind of over-insuring. They want to insure everything when the real definition of insurance is transferring risks that you really can't afford to retain. So I think that's trying to educate the client more in that respect. I think the other one that we try to help people with is the idea of cost sharing. Is it necessary for the employer to feel that they need to pay 100% of the employee or their dependents? And that has radically changed in the last several years. I've been doing this for 30 years, and just in the last 2 to 3 years with these rising rates, we're finding employers far more open-minded and confronted with the reality of having to pay less of the premium for their employee and or their dependents.
The employer having to pay less?
Yes, as a harsh reality. They can only afford so much and still stay in business. And so they're having to pay less of the percentage of the premium. They might end up literally paying more this year than the prior year, but they can't pay all of the increase. And so they're sharing that increase with the employee.
I'm sure the employees aren't happy about that.
It's a concern. I'd say the one thing is, with all of this being out in the general press and on radio shows of this nature, people are more informed about the realities of what things cost now.
We're talking with John Douglas, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. That's the website, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. He is free for an employer. Come out and evaluate your plan to see if there's a way they can shift, do some magic, so to speak, make a plan that's more specific, tailored to your needs. In some cases, increase the benefits. In other cases, get rid of unnecessary benefits so that you can avoid that, well, again, in your specific case, 76% increase, astronomical. You mentioned a great scenario there where you brought it down between a 6% and an 8% increase. That really is your job. That's why people would have you out, for exactly that reason. And again, you're free to the employer. You're paid by the insurance company that you get them, that you match them up with, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
That's a great service. One more time, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. That's the website, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Brian Bohan, and I want to hear more about this 15-year fixed loan hovering just under 3%. Again, 15-year fixed loan, just under 3% with Brian Bohan, Rancho Coastal Funding, ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from John Douglas, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. That's his website, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com.
You know, interest rates are historically low even today, and there's a lot of people still out there refinancing. A lot of people refinanced. The reason why I still see a lot of refinances is because now people have equity, whereas before they may not have. In fact, you know, Ryan and I talk about it on a daily basis. You know, we sold REOs. We sold regular transactions. We still do that. We did short sales. And the REOs and the short sales, that ship is sailing. I mean, we still have a few in the pipe, but for the most part, that ship has sailed. So we're back into a regular type of market where homeowner meets buyer and we put the deal together. And or maybe someone's selling a house, moving up. Maybe someone's just renting and they're buying for the first time. But when we're looking at these different scenarios, all these different loan programs and the interest rates are a key factor in what's happening here. And we went up about 1% year over year in interest rates. And first quarter 2015, they're calling for another 1%. The mortgage industry is calling for another 1%. And the Department of Real Estate is claiming that Q1 2015, we may see an additional 1% increase. And the reason why that information is important is because when we see interest rates go up, we lose a buyer pool. We lose a percentage of the buyers that are out there. People sometimes think interest rates go up, home prices go down. That's certainly a conversation we can get into. But when we're talking about loans, when we're talking about how these low interest rates affect you, that's where Brian Bohan comes in. That's where you're the expert in your field. You know, tell us, what does this 2% 15-year mortgage thing mean to clients that you're working with?
What it means to a lot of people who might have bought their house last year or years ago and if they didn't have the value or the appreciation in the product, they couldn't qualify for a refinance. For those people who have mortgage insurance and had other issues, rates are incredible. We're doing 15-year fixed rates in the high twos, 2.875%. Just did a loan similar to that with a guy, and he went from a 30-year loan to a 15-year loan. And it ended up costing him about $500 more per month but he's going to pay his loan off in half the time, 15 years rather than 30.
Okay, yeah, when I looked at refinancing, you know, let's just say I had the mortgage for 5 years. So I'm looking at 25 years left, and I've got this mortgage guy saying, hey, refinance, refinance, refinance. Well, I get why they're saying refinance. They want to get their points, right? But it makes a lot of sense sometimes when you're looking at your situation. You're like, geez, if I refinance, I'm going to save myself $500. But there's the downside is that I'm going to have to start back over at 30 years and then work myself down to 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, and maybe I own it. Maybe there's a financial planner out there that says never pay off your mortgage. But I come from the old school where I like it when I pay off my mortgage.
Absolutely. Pay that mortgage off. It's a good annuity, and go out and get a new one on a new property. But
Well, you know, certainly you could pull cash out, leverage, buy other pieces of real estate, you know, hedge against inflation. You can, you know, pick up investment properties. You can build your portfolio, you know, like Rich Dad Poor Dad Robert Kiyosaki talks about, acquiring that good debt. And when you're able to borrow at 2.875 on a 15-year mortgage, it may make a lot of sense. So in this case where you refinance a fella that was in a 30-year mortgage, he was able to get it down to 15 years at a 2.875% rate, which was a – how much per month was that, an addition?
It was about $500.
Okay. So if I'm doing my math right here, if I get – based on your numbers, that 180-month mortgage at that payment is an additional cost to that particular homeowner at this $400,000 loan amount of $106,380. So he went from 30 years to 15, essentially shaved that 15 years off that loan payoff program. He spent an additional $106,380 versus what the math actually looks like, the devil loan, which is the 30-year loan. And he would actually have to spend $772,000 over the life of that loan, the additional expense minus the additional expense of doing the 15-year, $106,000, leaves $666,540 that he would spend to own the same home but save that $500 a month. So if you got the 15-year mortgage, you're going to spend an additional $106,000 over that life of the 15 years, but you're going to save $666,000, $540, which is in some cases more than the house cost initially.
Big numbers, big numbers. And also if somebody, like you were saying in this scenario, and they've been paying on their loan for 5 years and they don't want to restart the clock at 30 years, they have flex programs where we could start them off at a 25-year payoff. So things are a little bit more flexible. It's not a 10-year fixed, 15-year fixed, or 30-year fixed. We could amortize something over anywhere between 5 and 30 years.
We're talking with Brian Bohan, his website, RanchoCoastal.com. That's his website, RanchoCoastal.com. Now, it's been a long time since I've heard the word fixed rate and 2% in the same sentence. That's pretty amazing. Under 3%, I get it, it's 15-year fixed, so it's not 30 years. I get that. But an increase of only $500 seems really reasonable.
Skip that car payment and pay your car off in 15 years.
Forget car payment. Skip Starbucks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, you know, that it can get you right there.
We were at Culture the other day in Solana Beach there having a beer. And one of my past clients walked up to me and said, hey, you know, we still live there and we're just about to pay off our house. You know, and first of all, that kind of aged me for one. But at the same time, it's really an eye-opener that it is possible. It is possible to acquire and pay off your real estate, and I think it's a great plan. You know, one of the other things that's out there, in addition to some of these sharpening your pencil and actually coming up with a good plan to pay off your mortgage, this 2.875% 15-year fixed, and you know, what if you set it up where you're paying every 15 days, the same payment twice a month, saves another like 5 years off the program.
That is another way to knock off some the life of the loan. Another way is to pay off. Some people make an extra payment with their tax refund. So instead of 12 payments a year, they're making 13 payments a year. And they're just whacking off the life of the loan. The happiest people I bump into, like you did, are people that I put into a 15-year loan. They're so happy because their house is almost paid off, and had they been on a 30-year, it'd just be another mortgage.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you may be living in a single-level house and thinking to yourself, you know what, I can stay here, but I sure don't want to keep writing that mortgage payment. And interest, hello, cost you a lot of money. If you look at the interest that you pay over the life of that loan, in a lot of cases, you're paying for that house three times over. And if you can get down with Brian Bohan, sharpen a pencil, and figure out exactly how you can save money and be smart about what you're doing with that same amount of money, you can shave off years off your mortgage.
Rates are still in the high twos. We're doing them at 2.875. Give a call. We will get that mortgage paid off.
The website is RanchoCoastal.com. That's the website, RanchoCoastal.com. I think we can all understand 15-year fix. It's not for everybody, right? Clearly, there's people that don't want to spend that $500 extra a month in your example. But you had mentioned 30-year fixed with also an astronomically low rate. What's going on with the 30-year?
30-year fixed are still in the threes. They are in the higher threes, but rates have gone up, but they're still historically incredibly low. So a 3.875 is available on 30-year fixed rate loans.
Well, I would imagine you're quoting best case scenario, right? So you're saying it has to be conforming. I got to have, of course, docs to prove it. I got to have the appropriate amount of income, debt to income ratio. This is with no exceptions. Obviously, this is the best case scenario, right?
That is usually the deal. They've got to have good credit, a job, and some equity. But the
they're not doing the ninja loan anymore, right? The no income, no asset, no job loan. You actually have to have something going on.
With the A++ loans, even on the jumbo loans up to $1 million or more, we're still able to do those in the high twos, the 2.875%.
Did you say jumbo?
Jumbo fixed rates.
So where does jumbo begin? What's the lowest jumbo out there?
Anything above 546.
546. Because in San Diego, we've got that sweet spot of 417 to 546 that's called jumbo light.
That's
what do you call that?
High balance loans. It's not a conforming loan that's purchased through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac.
So everything over 546 is jumbo. And one more time, tell me what's going on with jumbo.
Well, the rates have gotten very aggressive if you're the perfect borrower, if you've got great credit, a lot of equity in the property, and a job. So rates are great on those fixed-rate loans. They work for self-employed people. They are incredibly priced.
Stephen the Jumbo. One more time, Brian Bohan, RanchoCoastal.com. That's his website, RanchoCoastal.com. Had conversation about both a 15- and 30-year loan and rate, advantages to both. Brian, thank you again for being here and sharing your insight.
Thank you, guys.
Also, John Douglas, his website, healthcarecomplianceadvisor.com. That's the website, Healthcare Compliance Advisor. John, again, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Until next week, thank you.